Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
How's your week going?
Hope it's been a great week.
Hope so.
I hope you guys listened to the last podcast.
Wow.
With Claire.
I need to listen to it again. I usually always listen to them again just so I can kind of remember what we talked about. But I need to listen to that one again just because I think I can learn just as much the second time as I did the first time.
I totally agree. Yeah. It was mind blowing.
Such a cool. It's like her
mind blowing.
She's amazing.
And I have to say, I do like that you put the link on your post.
What do you mean?
You put the Spotify link on your post.
Oh, do I not usually?
Not usually, no.
I usually do.
I never see it like that. But anyway, I was very excited because I just clicked the button and it went right there.
No wonder you never listen to our podcast because you can't find
it. I have to go. That's right. They use me as the guinea pig, folks.
She never knows how. She's like, so how does one get on the back end of the website? I'm like, oh my God, I am going to hurt you. How do I log into the website? No, we're not having this conversation.
I'm a good guinea pig for that.
I love it.
Any That's problems, great. You just let me know.
That's right.
That's right.
So I want to share an unfortunate story.
Or fortunate.
Or fortunate. It's a learning opportunity
yes.
that I'd like all of you to help me learn because I have a lot to learn in this department. And so this is what we're going to kind of talk about today in this podcast is this type of situation, which I think so many of us find ourselves in.
Oh, yeah. And it's always when you're not prepared for it.
Totally.
It's different when you're like, all right, we're going to have a meeting.
And there's going to be some talking points,
conflict, you know, and you're just kind of ready for it.
Yeah.
These situations always happen, it seems like, when we're not prepared.
Right. So I'll start into mine, and then you have a good one, too. And they happened within 2 days of each other.
Yeah, it was
something crazy.
Odd.
So it was kind of a cosmic nudging for us to talk about this. So anyways, I was at a little local Missoula theater called the Roxy. It's an awesome theater. It's, it's just a great little spot, little neighborhood movie theater.
Locally owned. They play cool
They play
movies.
Like indie films. They make their own popcorn with like real butter and serve it to you in like this big old tin bowl or metal bowl.
Oh, I have to go there now.
With
I
like brewer's
been.
Yeast. Oh,
yes.
My God. Popcorn with brewer's yeast.
Add
so
whatever
good.
You want.
They have all these toppings you can put on it. So it's so fun. So anyways, we're in there. We're having a great time. It's date night. We rode our bikes downtown. Just having an awesome night. So I had my phone on my chair with the screen up. And because I think for any of you who have small children out there, or I don't know, big children or just a partner, I don't know.
Or anyone. How about an ailing parent?
Or even. I said an alien. Or if you have ET, you're staying at your
I
home
have
right
an
now.
Alien parent that I must
or
care
an
for.
Or an alien parent. So anyways, I had my phone with the screen up so that I could see if I got any text messages or calls from the babysitter, which I think as a parent is a responsible thing to do when you're out for hours.
Yeah, and you have three small children.
One of them is 9 freaking months old,
it's
okay?
A baby.
I kind of would like to know if something's wrong with her.
Yeah.
So anyways, my phone rings.
It's on silent.
It's on silent.
Yeah.
Somebody calls me. My phone is on silent. It's not even vibrating. It's silent. But of course, the screen is going to light up a little bit because I'm in a movie theater.
It's dark.
But when on iPhones, when the phone rings, it's not like the whole screen lights up. It's still a black background.
Yeah.
With
right.
white numbers telling
right.
me who's calling. So I'm looking down at my phone, being like, I don't recognize that number. But so I looked at it for a few seconds, and then I just stopped looking at it, and I looked back. At the screen. And so this woman behind me.
You were just confirming it wasn't your babysitter.
I was confirming it wasn't my babysitter. So this woman right behind me, she leans forward and she goes, could you please not have your phone out in a movie? It's very distracting or something like that. And it's like super condescending tone. And I was like shocked by it because I didn't even pick up my phone. It's not like I was texting or had it up to my face or anything like that, which I have done in movie theaters. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I was not doing it at that moment.
Yes.
So I was like, and then I turned around and I was like, just so you know, just so you know, I have three small kids at home and I'm just making sure that they're okay. And then I turned back around and that was kind of the end of that interaction. And then when the movie was over, I stood up and me and my husband are walking by and she goes, hey, I totally understand that you have three small kids at home. It's just really distracting to see a phone, you know, lighting up and taking away from the experience or whatever. And I was like, I didn't text. I didn't bring my phone up to my ear. I wasn't talking. I don't feel like I was using my phone and blah, 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 blah. And so she's like, excuse me, I work here. Can I talk to you out in the hall? Ooh, and I was like, oh, hello. Now I'm going to get in trouble. We're going to fight about this. Now, so then we walk out of this movie theater, which I know several people in there. Like, hey, hello, how's it going?
Missoula's a small town.
Missoula's a small town. Like, Rob knows people in there. So we're like walking out, standing at the entrance of the movie theater, like everyone has to walk around us and we just like kind of get in this fight. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like what, how would you have handled or how would you have preferred that I handle that situation? She's like, well, as soon as you realized that you didn't need to take that call, you could have stopped it or whatever. And you should have your phone on the dimmest setting. I'm like, I did. My phone is on the dimmest setting. It's on that like feature that iPhones have that like it adjusts to the room.
Yeah, to the room, right. So it's dark.
And you can't stop a phone call on your iPhone without sliding it and then hitting off. Like
it keeps going. Yeah, right.
It stays lit. I couldn't do anything about that. I could have turned my phone over, but I didn't think it was that distracting. And so, of course, then I'm like thinking of all the things. Like I was getting so mad inside and I was just kind of like, whatever. And I walked out of there and I was like obviously upset but also embarrassed because we were in the middle of the walkway.
Kind of a shaming technique.
Total shaming. Like, I'm going to take you out into the hall. But I was thinking, I'm like, okay, do you want to know what's more distracting than having a phone on silence light up for 10 seconds? Is having someone yell at you in a movie theater by somebody who works there.
Yeah, that's talking.
Like shitty customer service, just so you know. Like, yeah. You shouldn't have outed yourself as an employee there because you just treated a customer really poorly.
Yes, very poorly.
So then, you know, I'm all worked up and then it like kind of ruined the night because then we like ride our bikes home and
you're kind
I'm
of
all
you're worked, escalated.
I'm escalated and it feels gross inside my body.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you're like thinking of all the things that you wish you
what
should
could
have
you
said.
Do? Yeah. I'm always like, I'll go back and then
I know, I
I'll
go
ask
back and
who
do
her,
this.
What her name was. I'm always like, what is your name?
Okay, so you had a similar situation like 2 days earlier.
Similar situation. My daughter, Jo, went for a walk with her girlfriend, and she parked her car on this trail that everybody uses.
Right.
And everybody has been using this trail from before we were born, I'm sure. Like the last 40 years, people have been using this trail. Yeah. I know that because the house was built like 40 years ago. And probably before that, before there was a house there, people were using the trail. It goes along the creek.
Yes.
Very beautiful. So she parks her car and she goes for a walk with her girlfriend and she comes back and her car is on the tower. There's a tow person and he's got it all hooked up and there's a woman there.
Yeah.
Who claims she's the owner of the home.
Yeah. Because her dad died.
Because her dad passed. And so now they're selling the house, but she is the current owner. She doesn't live there. And she's like, did you not see these signs? And they're like three signs that say Jack's Towing or whatever. But they're kind of small. And, you know, when you're just used to a place.
Yeah, wasn't it like a weekend?
It was like a weekday. It was like a Thursday at 4.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
And the woman just goes up. Joe's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I didn't even notice these signs. I apologize. And the woman just went off on Joe. Just like, I know your type of person.
Oh.
These evil women just taking over the neighborhood and just went off. Like, she's like, and Joe just kept trying to apologize. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't know this meant so much to you. The woman used bad language. Some swear words, maybe a word that starts with a C.
Oh, whoa.
Yes. The woman was like, and the The tow truck driver. He's like this 25-year-old man. And you can see he just like feels totally uncomfortable. And he kept telling the woman, you know, it's totally fine. I can put her car down. And the woman's like, no, you are not putting her car down. She's like, these people think they own this place. I found out we own this dirt road. We didn't know that, but we own it. And it's like a dirt road for like 10 feet or something. Yeah, it's like, okay, good for you.
Yes.
And anyway, so Joe has to call me in an emergency and she's like, can you come bring cash?
Yeah.
Because he says if he tows it, it's $350.
Yes. Yes,
but if you bring cash, he can give you $75 and he unhooks it. He still feels bad because Joe is sitting there totally apologetic.
Yeah.
And anyway, I drive up and take care of it. And the woman is just waiting in her driveway. And I'm just like, all right, lady, I'm going to crush you. Because she's so mean. It's like you're spending your afternoon just waiting to tow someone.
Oh, I bet she's loving this
moment. So worked up. And I just walked by and I'm like, I'll buy your blah, blah house. I'm like, I was just so pissed at her. I was like, just yelled something at her. And Joe's like, quiet, mom, quiet.
Did she yell back at you?
She yelled back like, I forget what she said. Something like, shut up, you, da, 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 da. Like, we're definitely going to have an altercation. And I'm like, I'll take you down.
Yeah.
And anyway, that works you up. I got so worked up. I wanted to murder her.
Right.
Like, I felt like I could murder her. Like, I'm like, I will jump on you and kill you because you are not fair. What you're doing is not fair. And Joe's husband drove up and they're all like, let's drive off now, mom. And I'm like, and I love how I'm like, I don't get very worked up.
Yeah.
But it's like in those moments, I'm like, I could take on the world.
I know. It's like so much fuel.
Oh, so much fuel. And she just wouldn't be nice.
Yeah.
And she even told Joe, she's like, what would you do in my shoes? You do the exact same thing. And Joe's like, no, I wouldn't. I would tell people not to park here.
Yeah.
And I'd give them a few chances.
Yeah.
And I'd let people know.
Yeah.
But the woman was like, argh.
Yeah. So then, you know, so I came to Ula One the next morning with this like, okay, this feeling, because so much about what we say at Ula is like, feel your feelings.
Yeah.
Feel your feelings.
Right.
Feel your feelings. You know, like it makes us sick when we repress our feelings. It makes us sick when we keep everything inside and stuff it down. And so much about what we believe in and we encourage in this space and in our lives is to use our voices and take up space and like, you know, feel all your feelings and don't shove it down and use your voice. And then so I'm grappling with how do we feel our feelings and actually, you know, be in the present moment and honor how we're feeling and how situations affect us, but also not completely lose our shit. Which
not kill the woman.
Not kill the woman, not get in a fight at the movie theater, you know.
Right.
So I guess that's kind of my big question and whether it's like emotional maturity or, you know, I don't know. But so how do we feel our feelings, but also not be reactive.
Yes.
You know, how do we understand what is actually my true feelings and what is just my reaction to a situation? And are those different or is that the same?
And don't you think that these people that have these kind of these bombastic feelings, or, you know,
bombastic.
They kind of want to have conflict.
They do want to have conflict.
I feel like they want to ignite you, the other person.
Oh, and if you put out the bait, I will bite.
And obviously I did too, because I was ready to take her down.
Yes.
Because I just felt like, but then when I walked away, I felt kind of dumb because I'm like, why am I participating in what she wanted me to do?
For sure.
Like, obviously, she really wants to have conflict. Maybe that's how she communicates in her life. Maybe she's lonely. Maybe that gives her fire or something.
I think it makes her feel powerful.
It makes her feel powerful, yeah.
I think a lot of it
has
to do with
power.
I have
this house and this beautiful property and you can't park here.
Money, you can't park. And I have power over you.
Oh, yeah. Power over you.
For me, I think one of the reasons I react so strongly to things is because I have an incredibly strong need and desire for justice.
Mm-hmm.
When I think something isn't fair or when somebody's done something wrong, or if I've been wronged, or if somebody I love has been wronged, like, I really want to be part of the action.
Yes.
For justice.
For justice.
You know, it's hard for me to just be like, well, I'll let the universe, I'll let God,
let go and let God.
That one is difficult for me because I'm like, but it's not going to happen fast enough, and they're not going to know what they did so that they can
then learn from it. Right, it happens like 10 years later where I'm like, you don't even remember.
You're never going to learn your lesson because of how you get the justice, like, too far away.
Right.
But it's not ours to, that's not our job, to deliver justice.
We're all like, part of the Justice League, actually.
I'm sorry, but I don't know if people know. That role.
I am one of the Justice League members.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you know. But sometimes I feel like I am.
It's probably why we love those, at least I do, those Marvel comic movies and Justice League movies, because sometimes it's all about, like, eventually it's about, like, Wonder Woman delivering justice.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah!
Yeah, totally.
Like, I told you, what you're doing is wrong!
Well, it's like, we can't let the bad guys keep doing the bad stuff.
Yes, someone has to come in and stop them.
Someone has to come in and stop it. And so whether, you know, the bad guy be interrupting the movie to tell me that she was annoyed by my phone, that pisses me off.
So it's like, I want you to know. Making a mountain out of a molehill is what we call that.
I want you to know that what you did is wrong.
Right.
But that's not a mature.
That's such a public shaming. And also taking it into the hallway.
Yes, but then I also wanted her to know that what she did was wrong.
Right, right. You know? Well, that's what we want. That's the justice part. It's like, what you're doing is wrong. Or you don't have power over me.
Right. And so we've been talking a lot about Eckhart Tolle, just personally between the two of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm like, well, what would Eckhart Tolle do?
Oh, I know.
I mean, he probably wouldn't react. Right?
No, I don't think he would react. I think he would be, what is the saying?
W-W-E-T-D.
Uh-oh. Erectile dysfunction.
No, we're not back on. Stop talking about penises. You're like, I love men. We're like doing chakra balancing. She's like, I'm sexual. I love sex. I'm like, okay. And the pendulum is like this beautiful, healthy circle. She's like, I'm sexy. I'm hot. I love sex. I'm like, okay, you go, girl. Okay. Anyways, Eckhart Tolle.
Yes. Eckhart.
What would W-W-E-T-D. What would Eckhart Tolle do?
Why are you saying W-W-W-E-T-D?
Because it's like, what would Jesus do? W-W-J-D. Everyone writes that everywhere.
They do. I didn't even know that.
What would Jesus do?
Oh, what would Jesus do?
It's on bumper stickers everywhere. WWJD. What would Eckhart Tolle do?
I thought it was like a address on the internet.
Oh my God.
I was like, all those stickers I've been thinking for years. I'm like, whose address is that on the internet? And then right when you said it, I'm like, is that Eckhart Tolle's internet address?
Oh, my God. It's Heaven's Door.
Oh, great. I love that internet address. I love that.
Oh, my God.
Learn something new every day.
So funny.
Bingo.
Oh, my God.
Bingo.
There you go right there.
Bingo. So what word would Eckhart Tolle use? One, he would be like, first of all, babe, you should know that's not an internet address.
Yeah, right.
Like, yes, Eckhart, I do. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
My friend Kaylee has enlightened me to that.
Oh, that's good. That is so funny. You got to tell Mike that.
I think that's hilarious. That's so funny.
I thought that was an address on the internet. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you kept saying it. I'm like, you're so confused. Internet address.
Oh, my God.
And why does he have a T in his name?
E-T.
E-T-D. Why does he have a D?
Well,
anyway,
it doesn't matter.
Now I know. Now I know.
But what would Eckhart Tolle do in that situation?
What does he say, though? Treat every moment as
Accept each moment as if you had chosen it.
Accept each moment as if
you had chosen it. As if your soul had chosen this moment. So any hardship, any conflict, anyone who triggers you, any way you suffer, you say, I'm going to accept this as if I had chosen it, because I know that for my spirit to evolve and to grow, these are the ways in which I need to learn. These are the lessons that need to present themselves so that I can grow.
Right.
So I'm sure he would be like,
oh, he's like this.
But what would he say to her? Would he turn around? Would he say, I'm sorry? Would he just say, I'm sorry?
I think he would just say, I'm sorry.
He'd probably just say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
But see, then for me, I'm like, but that enables her to keep acting like a bitch at the movie theater.
Right. Or she didn't get the response that she wanted.
You think she's never going to tell people? I think that does the opposite.
Well,
I think she's like, I'm going to keep doing it because look how effective that was. They feel bad. They apologize. They know that they were wrong. I'm like, no, you're wrong.
But I guess he would say that doesn't matter. That's
it doesn't
her
matter because not for
that's
us
her
to deal
journey,
with.
Not our,
it's not our
not
problem.
Our problem.
I know.
Right.
I know. That's why I'm not spiritually or emotionally mature.
Well, you
I'm
are.
Reactive.
Well, you're a human.
Working on it.
We're humans.
I think there's also that pause between feeling the feeling.
There you go.
And then you pause.
There's the pause.
And you breathe. And I think breathe. And then you figure out your reaction. So maybe we allow the feelings to come up.
Yes.
But then we use techniques to calm us down so that they don't stay with us. Like, I shouldn't have still been worked up
and
all the way until the next
day. And
it's
a good question to ask yourself, like, is this something to be worked – does this deserve – to be worked up about. Because
exactly.
There are things that do deserve
yes.
to
my
be worked up.
My dog died. Yes, that's right. Worth being very
my
upset about.
My child has fallen in the river.
Yes.
Get worked up. Jump on in. You know, yes. Like you got to get all, you got to get your resources together. But whether someone's towing your vehicle unjustly.
Yes.
That really isn't something you probably want to spend
too
much
long.
Energy focused on.
Yeah. So, but are we still, okay. So to be emotionally mature, can we still feel the feeling?
I think, well, you can't ignore the feeling.
So you feel it and you acknowledge it and you say, wow, I'm feeling very worked up inside. And then you resort to your
technique. And you acknowledge the feeling triggers an emotion.
The feeling, what's different between a feeling and emotion?
Well, a feeling is kind of like my heart rate's elevated. I feel like I might yell. And
oh,
then
okay.
Your emotion might be, it could be different things, right? Yeah,
no,
it could
I'm
be
angry.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
Or it could be I'm angry.
Yes.
Or it even could be I'm sad, maybe.
Sure.
I don't know. That could be the same
yeah,
thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you have the feeling.
Yes.
And then you notice the emotion that it triggered. Mm. Like the fight. Like mm-hmm. I get mad and
yeah.
then I want to fight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's do this.
Smackdown drag out, I guess we're going to have right here, little lady. I'm like, how old are you? No. Joe's like,
oh my God.
Calm down. But so the feeling, then we notice the emotion. And then I think we go, deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, we definitely are having a feeling. We definitely are having an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Does this situation warrant
mm-hmm.
reacting on it?
Mm-hmm.
And if we do react on it, what is our purpose of
mm-hmm.
reacting? And will we
yes.
get what we want?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, arguing with a tow woman, she's still going to tow you. She's just mad.
And it's not our job to serve cosmic justice.
No, our job, cosmic, divine justice, whatever you want to call it.
Not our job.
It's not our job. I remember working with women in domestic abuse, women and men in domestic abuse. And I remember being so surprised in graduate school because I was like, well, the justice system isn't just.
Right.
And I remember one of the attorneys said, it's not just.
Yeah.
It's not really about justice. It's about the rules of law
mm-hmm.
and what we can apply here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wanted to be like, he beat her up. He knocked all her teeth out of her mouth.
Right.
He did it in front of her kids.
Mm-hmm.
He should be put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But the justice system at that time
mm-hmm.
didn't, you know, they're like, well, you know, we're going to hold him in jail for about a month.
Yeah.
We're going to work with this or that, you know.
Yeah.
But I just felt like it just
so
wasn't
fair.
It's
not
fair.
It's not
her
fair.
Whole life was affected by this.
Well, yeah.
But
so then, oh, sorry. To cut
no,
you
go
off.
Ahead. Go ahead.
So now, okay, if we take our little tow truck and our movie theater experience and we take it to a bigger realm, let's say like massive, social injustices. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So someone like Eckhart Tolle, he doesn't read the news and he doesn't get involved in politics. How do you feel? Like, I think that you probably have a different approach to that because you, I mean, less now than you used to,
mm-hmm.
but like very much involved in like posting about politics
news.
And news and listening to the news so much. Like, so then like how much do we choose to get involved with justice or with righteousness or what's fair on bigger scales that aren't so much just about us and our tiny little interactions here and there, but like big scale things.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that tie into emotional maturity?
I think that's a great question. I think, again, it's sort of your ability to
separate
and then being aware of is your feelings and emotions taking over your physical being?
Yeah.
So in other words, if you, because I even think of the people who work like at animal control.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like for me, I'm like, oh my God, I would, every day I would want to take home, you know, probably every animal. I would be sobbing. Right. So something about animals for me, you know, I would just, it would just be very hard for me to have the capacity to handle that suffering of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to use that as an example since it's my personal example. But there are people, obviously, that work there that do tremendous work and that we need them there that can have that, that can handle that capacity
right.
for them. They are, so whatever, you, wherever they're at in their lives with animals,
yeah.
they can do that. You know what I mean? And I'm like, thank you for doing that. I can't do that personally. And maybe it's kind of knowing where we stand.
And what and is what going we can to overwhelm tolerate. Us. And what we can, yeah, what won't affect our being.
Yes.
In order to help serve, hopefully, justice or help create a sense of fairness and, I don't know, when things are socially not.
And come up with solutions.
Yeah, be part of the
solution.
Because
you have to be aware of the problem in order to come up with the solution.
Totally.
And that takes special types of
it
people.
It does. Maybe you're like, oh, I can't do it when it comes to animals, but I can when it comes to people.
To people.
Or something
I can
like
do
that.
People, probably not children, real good.
Right.
But other people can, by
other
the way.
Can
other people
children.
Are making huge, making difference and trying to affect change in social injustice with children throughout
yes.
the world.
Yes.
So maybe it's knowing what you can tolerate and what you can't.
Because for me, I would want to serve justice for everybody who was aggressive or, you know, mistreating all these. Yeah. I don't think I can.
You just don't have that capacity right now in your life. I don't
I wonder
know what
if,
it'll be like when you're 50
I wonder
or 60.
If,
maybe it'll be, I don't know, maybe by then you'll be like, I can, you know.
But I mean, I bet Eckhart Tolle could as well. He just chooses not to. So do you think that's being irresponsible?
No, I think he's just serving his higher purpose.
Yes.
And that's a different higher purpose
I think that's
than
exactly
other
right.
folks' higher purposes
and,
are.
And I think some people can serve their higher purpose doing that kind of work.
Yes.
And some people can't.
Yes. And I think we're like puzzle pieces and
yeah.
we need all the
we
different
all
puzzle
the different
pieces
types.
For it to fit together. We need the Martin Luther Kings.
Yeah.
Who are like, I'm going to go get shot probably.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure he knew
he
was going to be,
yeah,
you're just walking the
yeah.
line, you know,
yeah.
but he was like, I'm going to do it because he could.
Yeah.
And he knew the consequences.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes I feel like my emotions are fuel for action.
Yes.
You know, like I posted that analogy in the community page last week or whenever it was about like going through the door analogy. And sometimes you need like the fire starters who just bust through the door and break some stuff on the
oh,
way
good
in.
Good point. Yeah.
You know, and then you have the people who come in and they like hold hands and tell everyone, we're going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Right.
You know, we've got this and who needs my help? And, you know, and then we have the people who come in after and put it all back together in a better way. And then you have the people like maybe the Eckhart Tolles of the world who stay out of the conflict, but are like, you know, putting good energy into the world and are, you
and
know.
Maybe can see a higher vision.
And can see a higher vision.
So they're like, don't worry, I'm
they're
keeping,
holding
I'm
a
keeping
higher
the
vision.
Light. You
yes.
know, I'm keeping the light, but
yes.
I need you people. I'm sure he would recognize
yes.
that he needs these other workers.
Yes.
And as he would, I'm sure he would because he is working on being ego-less.
Yes.
And ego-less, an absence of ego is not like, well, then I am the light keeper. It's more like, yeah, I'm the light keeper and she's the storm driver.
Yeah.
And he's the fixer.
Yeah,
like we're,
totally.
We're just doing
we're
our
just doing our part
roles.
Without looking for validation.
Exactly.
Well, and he on one of his interviews with Oprah, she was laughing because she was saying how, you know, she loves his book, A New Earth. Like, her copy of his book is in the Smithsonian.
Oh, yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah. And she said she started back up her book club when his book, A New Earth, came out. And so she called him and she's like, Eckhart, I just want you to know that your book has been, you know, selected to be our Oprah's book club, whatever. And he said, thank you. Just like that. And she's like, Eckhart, have you heard of my book club? Like, you know? And he's like, yes, I have. Thank you. And she said it really like surprised her because most people when she calls them, they're like, oh my God, I mean, it's going to change their life. It's going to completely change their career. It's, you know, like their life will never be the same once they've hit Oprah's book club. And so just talking about how his egolessness.
Yes.
He just said, thank you. Oh, thank you. You know, thank you. Mm-hmm. I think he's just doing his work.
He's doing his work. He knows. Yeah. He knows what his work is so on this earth.
You know, and I think maybe in different situations, we just need to analyze in ourselves. Is this worthy of my reaction?
Yes.
Does my reaction serve my higher purpose, a higher purpose? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And maybe that changes in all those different scenarios. Because after I made that post, I was thinking, well, not in every situation do I break down the door. In some situations, I'm going to just sit back from the, and I'm going to, you know, send loving thoughts from the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Or some situations, I'm more able to go in and hold hands and, you know, let people know it's going to be okay. But in some situations, I can bust down that door. Mm-hmm. And I can take whatever rage or big, strong emotion I'm feeling, and I can break down a door with it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I think we also have to analyze which situation. And is my reaction going to serve?
And is this door worth breaking down?
And is this door worth breaking down?
Like the tow lady. It's not worth breaking down.
No.
That's not my job.
No.
She has her own path in life. I'm not going to help her in any way.
Yeah, but let's say maybe she's shooting all the people.
Now she's shooting everyone.
Then maybe that is a door that you're going to go
bust down that door.
Yeah, bust through that door.
We're going to shoot people.
Yeah, so like what level of conflict is this too? And how involved can you get in it? And how much are you going to let it kind of overtake you?
And I love the concept of conflict too, when I take it into a higher realm mm-hmm. of investigation, because then you start to look at all the actors in the conflict.
Yeah.
And it's like, then you have you, who has her phone, who's worried about her children, who's enjoying her movie, this whole character.
Yes.
We have the woman behind you who's upset about the phone, who's trying to enjoy her movie.
Well, and I think she's like a defender of the arts.
Defender, right.
You know, she like works at the Roxy and she's like,
I volunteer my time.
Yeah, I'm a volunteer at the Roxy. How dare you, you know, disrespect this film.
Right, right. She thinks she's doing something for the higher good.
Probably serving a higher good as well.
Higher good as well. And so it's so when we rise above conflict sometimes, I get such an interest. You just get interesting viewpoints.
Yes, I think that's a very good point.
Then you start thinking about, like, even with the woman in the tow car, I'm like, now why are you so upset?
Yes.
And now, by the way, folks, she's put up signs every maybe 3 feet.
That's right next to our new property.
Every 3 feet,
check it
you got to go look. It's okay. All boom, boom. But it goes all the way down the little road.
Grumpy,
very worked up. And I thought, oh, now because her parents had lived there for 40 years, and you know, people had parked there forever.
And so sometimes I wonder if you can phrase things from that higher perspective. Mm-hmm. Like I could be like, you know, I'm really sorry that I interrupted your movie experience. And I totally respect that you're trying to keep this experience sacred and as most enjoyable for other people as you can.
This is a great theater. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And let it go. And then that might be shocking and stunning and, you know, I don't know, to her.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you can just try to see the other person's highest purpose mm-hmm. with it. And maybe with that. But I think you can also use that as a tool to be, like condescending.
Oh, for sure.
It's, like to
it's
that
how
lady,
you say it.
You could be like, you know, I imagine you must be very saddened by the death of your father. And so you're trying to find ways to, I don't know. Like you could be condescending about it too.
Yes, right. Yes. And again,
so I think we have to be a little careful with
like
that.
The intricacy of human communication.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's so, because you can say something so many different ways.
Totally.
Versus like, I'm so sorry for the loss of your father. This is an amazing piece of property.
I'm sure you're just trying to protect it.
She feels super bummed that they have to sell it.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure you're really sad that you're going to have to sell it rather than be like, I'll fucking buy your house. You know? Like, yeah. But ultimately what you understood was that she's probably feeling a sadness or a lack because she has to sell the property.
Yes. Yeah.
And so then we get to approach like, okay, am I going to hurt her back because she hurt me? So I want to hurt her back.
I
know how to get in there.
I know how to get in there. I know why.
Or do I, you know.
Or do I take a higher road perhaps
sorry.
We parked our car here.
Sorry. Very sorry. I'm sure you're very sad about, you know.
This is a It's a big transition. To lose this piece
of beautiful property from your family.
Because it's such a weird thing to do. Of course, I'll go back to it. But, like, she's selling it.
She's selling
it. It's on the market.
Yeah.
So why would you care about where the people park?
Well, and you would probably hope that people stop and park so that maybe they're looking at it.
Right. See if they want to buy it. I should have said, we're actually here just taking a look around.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this house was for sale. Yeah. Are we not allowed to look at the property?
To look at the property? Or that would be.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, I think the question is, are we willing to let it overwhelm us?
Mm-hmm.
Are we actually able to trust that there's a higher power who the story is so much bigger than we can even understand?
And so can we just have a divine justice?
A divine justice. And can we just give people a little bit of a break?
And some grace.
Like, and it's not our job to teach them how they've messed up.
I am your parent now, and that's very inappropriate.
Yeah, right.
You know? It's like, and then to get back to the beginning about, you know, when feelings are appropriate.
Yeah. And when are feelings appropriate?
When are they appropriate? And I think, again, it's like, notice the feeling, because sometimes we go right to emotion, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go back to like, wait, I felt really, my heart rate went up and I felt my throat get kind of tight.
Totally.
And then I felt my fist kind of clench, like, you know, all those things. And my jaw got tight and then it made me feel angry.
Uh-huh.
And, and then just saying, wow, I was... That is so interesting that I have one trigger. And then what do I want to do with it?
Yes.
And does the level of how I want to do it, is it fitting the circumstance? In other words, is it worth busting the door down? Mm-hmm. Like you said.
Right.
Like if the woman's shooting people, we're probably going to bust the door down. That's the time you're going to push it. But now if she's just there and she's grumpy and unhappy and was willing to work with the tow driver wanted to work with us, I probably don't need to bust a door down in that.
Yes.
In that sense.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
And the same for you, like in the same, I don't need to bust a door down.
I easily could have been like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Right.
And then have it be done.
Yeah. Have it be done. But it was.
But what I sometimes feel like, I keep going back to this, is then I feel like that just gives people more validation to keep doing their behavior.
Right. And then, like you said,
but it's not my deal. I don't have to worry about that. That's not my problem.
Unless, like you were saying, it's worth.
Unless it is my problem, and somebody's doing something repeatedly.
Like, let's say she's hitting people on the head. She's all bonk. Hey, your phone. And you're like, no, ma'am.
You can't do that.
You're not only hitting people on the head, ma'am.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, very good point.
Now, that's worth kind of busting the door down and having a bigger lesson, going to management and saying,
right,
Barbara here is hitting everyone on the head for their phones.
Yes.
And I don't think you want that here.
So going to a question that I feel like is incredibly annoying for both you and me.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like in that situation, Rob and Mike probably wouldn't have lost it like we did.
That stuff doesn't bother them.
So how are they more just emotionally mature than us? Because is it in our personality to ever get to the point where we have no reaction to those type of situations where it doesn't even fire us up?
I feel like our emotions are so much closer to the surface
than theirs are.
That they almost have a breath.
So that doesn't mean that they're more enlightened.
No. Look at me. I'm all like, now let me just think about it.
I'm like, uh-oh. Does this mean that they are more mature emotionally?
But ours are so readily – ours are just like kind of right there.
Yeah.
Like, blah.
Yeah.
Where theirs are kind of like – it takes a while for their emotion to get there, it feels
But do you think that's only for negative emotions, or do you think it's for positive, like joy and love and happiness? Those seem pretty close to the surface for them.
Those are pretty close.
But maybe they're just more mature.
Maybe they're more mature and they can take a maybe they know to take a breath.
I think that they can
space.
Take a space. And I think that's what it is. I think
they can take
it. I think you can say, you know what? This is what I'm feeling. And I'm not going to shame myself for feeling this way, but I'm going to take a pause.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a pause. I'm going to take a breather. And then either react or
and I don't know how
react.
They learn that or where that comes from.
Where'd that come from? Marijuana.
Where? Because I'm like, why don't I have that gift? But it
I
is,
don't have that gift.
I'm
either.
Like, I wasn't taught it either, really. My mom also is more, her emotions were more
At the surface?
More at the surface. Not, she's not emotional, but especially her angry ones are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
More kind of like, you know, she wouldn't yell, but you just would be like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
And you're like, I screwed up somehow.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-oh.
You know, but I didn't learn to take a break. I didn't learn to have a space.
To have a pause. Yeah. You didn't learn that from your dad?
My dad did do it. But he learned it. He talked about it because he said he didn't have it when he was
young.
But
he didn't have it. Most of his, like, enlightenment came when you were not a kid.
No.
You didn't grow up with him being like this,
I mean,
per se.
I was lucky because my sisters were younger and they saw him kind of messed up. Mm. I didn't see that messed mm-hmm. up part as much.
Yeah.
So by the time I became kind of conscious around 12, yes. I would say.
Then he'd started his work.
He'd started his work. Yes. So then I got to see kind of this more, I mean, he was always making mistakes and stuff.
Well,
but
of course.
He was much more willing to kind of investigate them.
Yeah.
Like, now, why am I feeling so strong?
Why am I, yeah.
And he was so good about sharing it. Like, look, how I react here doesn't make, how I'm feeling really doesn't fit the situation. He would like do those scenarios.
Yeah. Oh, that's smart.
And I'd be like, and when you're young, I'm like, whatever, you're a weirdo.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older.
You're like, oh.
I'm like, good one, Dad.
Good one. That is a good one.
That's smart.
That's a great way to
He's
think
like,
about
now,
it.
You know, like you would say, how he beat himself up about a messy room.
Yes.
And that meant he was a loser and a bad
and
person.
And lazy.
He'd draw it all out. But then he would say, but B, I'm none of those things.
Yeah.
If I have a messy room.
Yes.
Just so
I just
you
have
know.
A messy room.
I just have a messy room.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be deeper than that.
But he's like, but this is what I feel when I see a messy room.
Yes, to be able to look again at our thoughts, at our feelings, not from our thoughts, from our feelings.
Right, and that maybe that's the lesson of this whole podcast.
Awareness.
Look at them, not from them.
Yes.
That's hard to do, of course, because we'll get triggered. The emotion and the feeling is so strong. But then we have to take that little breath, like you said, and then step back and look at it. Like
look at
looking,
it.
Looking down
yourself.
At it. Yeah.
And like, look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do I want to do with this information?
But then again, you know, then maybe we wouldn't have this podcast and this opportunity to have this conversation had we not been reactive to feel how that felt.
Right.
You know, so then again, not beating yourself up about stuff like that, but be more like, okay, well, that didn't feel so good. So now I'm going to go in and figure out why. And
right.
think about what great food for thought
and keep
those situations
working on
were.
It. There's always opportunities to work on that.
Yeah. And knowing our triggers, knowing our usual response to things. And then we get to decide, do I want to keep reacting this way?
Right.
Is this a reaction pattern that I want to just maintain?
Right.
Or do I want to train myself? Do I want to put in the work of trying to figure out how to find that pause?
Yeah.
Of trying to look at things from a bigger, higher perspective.
Higher perspective, right.
How do I stay in the moment, but also
step back.
Step out of it.
Step out of it.
To see it.
Look at it and then go back in it.
To see it a little bit bigger.
Yeah, have a clearer picture.
Yeah, so it's all very interesting.
And that's why this is such a good podcast, because we're not enlightened.
Yeah, see, if we were enlightened, then we wouldn't even have these examples.
We'd have nothing to talk about.
We'd just sit here and say, oh.
I'd be like, thank you.
Thank you.
Heck yeah! Oh, my fucking house.
Well,
you're dead to me.
Oh my gosh.
Don't ever talk to my daughter like that again. It's like, no, I would just be like, thank you.
Well, and it's funny when it comes to your kids too, then you get like,
your kids are even worse.
Fired
like
up.
I'm like, you can do anything to me, but not to my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even totally. When they're grown up, it's weird.
Well, that's sweet.
It is sweet, but it is. Like people, like some of my kids are like, you need to back off, weirdo. My grown up kids.
Yeah, but they know you're there if something happens.
That's
your
true.
Kids always call you when they need you.
Yeah.
I mean, they know that they can come to you, they can come to Mike.
Yeah.
They know that.
They
have a very, very, very deep knowing that no matter what situation, you and Mike will be there.
Yeah. And I knew that about my parents too, in a weird way, even though I didn't like them for a long time.
Well.
I still knew they would be there.
You knew that they'd be there.
I knew they would be there. And you know, they always were.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't always agree with who they were.
Right. So, you know.
But maybe that's a bigger picture thing.
Yeah.
Like, sure, they're troubled humans.
Who isn't?
Making sense of
Eckhart
their lives.
Tolle
Eckhart Tolle. But let's
like
talk
Eckhart,
to his kids. Does he have kids? Oh, that's our next research topic. It's all
www.etk.
Eckhart Tolle Kids.
D-E-T-H-S. Does Eckhart Tolle
have kids? Sex. Oh. Sex. Does he have a partner?
Unless he's had immaculate conception.
Well, his parents had sex.
Well, I know, but if he has kids.
Oh, no, he had to have sex.
Oh, that's what I said.
Oh, immaculate conception. Yeah, no. Then we got to talk to his wife and his kids.
I don't think he has a wife.
Is he a monk? I think he's a monk. I think he was a monk originally. He was trained in monk stuff.
Yeah.
Probably what I should have done. So my second chakra wouldn't be as good.
I'm hot. I'm sexy. I like sex. God, the pendulum's like, woo, 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 woo. I'm like, okay, calm down.
She's very confident in that area.
She is. Okay.
All right.
Well, anyways.
Thanks for listening.
Watch our reactions. I'm going to try this week.
Yeah, we're working.
We're going to watch. We're going to watch them. Okay. Bye.
Bye.